The Max Life Field Guide. Leadership Confidence. Leadership confidence is the founder's ability to make hard calls and back them without waiting for outside approval. It isn't a personality trait you either have or don't. The way Ben Laws frames it with the founders he coaches, confidence is the single most important asset a leader has to protect, because every bold decision the business needs runs through it. The reason it leaks usually isn't a lack of skill. It's that you handed your scoreboard to other people, so customers, employees, revenue, and your peers get to vote on whether you're allowed to feel sure of yourself. You rebuild it by keeping your own scoreboard, separating a bad outcome from a bad decision, and banking the evidence you already have instead of chasing more of it. You used to make the call and move on. Now you sit on it. You run it past two more people, sleep on it, open the spreadsheet one more time. From the outside, the business looks like it's winning. Inside, you're second-guessing decisions you used to make in your sleep. That's not a strategy problem. It's a confidence problem. And for a founder, it's the expensive kind, because everything the company needs to do next has to pass through your nerve first. What leadership confidence actually is. Most people treat confidence like a personality trait, something you're born with a lot of or a little of. Ben Laws treats it as an asset. In his words to the founders he coaches, "Our number one thing we need to protect is our confidence." He means it literally. Without it, you can't make the bold calls growth requires. So the business quietly organizes itself around what you're still willing to decide. Confidence here isn't swagger or certainty that you're right. It's the willingness to make a decision, act on it, and stand behind it before the results are in. That's the version that scales a company, and it's a byproduct of how you keep score, not how loud you can be in a meeting. This sits inside the bigger shift we write about in the entrepreneur mindset that scales a business. Past a certain size, you stop playing a strategy game and start playing an energy game, where your state and your judgment are the scarce resource. Confidence is the fuel that game runs on. The real problem isn't confidence, it's where you keep your scoreboard. Here's what usually happens as a business gets bigger. Early on, your scoreboard is simple and internal. Did I do the thing I said I'd do? Then you get customers, a team, revenue targets, a peer group of other founders. One by one, you hand each of them a vote. Now you only feel sure of a decision if the customer's happy, the team nods, the number's up, and the founder you compare yourself to seems impressed. That's what seeking validation actually is. It's not vanity. It's outsourcing your scoreboard to people who can't see the whole game and who get to change the score on you at any time. Chase it, and confidence gets more fragile the more successful you look, because now there are more people whose approval you're waiting on. Jason Henkel, who coaches executives out of the trance of busyness, put the cost of that plainly on the podcast. To be a satisfied man or a woman is power. The rest is force, and it's exhausting. Approval seeking is force. You can run on it for years, and plenty of high performers do, but it drains the exact asset you're trying to build. The deeper version is the story you tell yourself while you wait for the votes. As Celine DaCosta, who has spent 15 years studying how language shapes a leader's inner world, said it, "Anything that comes after I am is your story, and the meaning you give it is the anchor that's keeping you under." If your private sentence is, "I am the one who got lucky," or "I am not really a CEO," no amount of outside applause reaches the part of you making the calls. One bad quarter shouldn't cost you your nerve. There's a second leak, and it hides as good judgment. A decision goes sideways. The launch flops, the hire doesn't work out, the bet loses money. You quietly file it as evidence that you can't be trusted with the big calls anymore, and you get a little more careful, a little slower, a little more likely to ask permission next time. Ben stops that one cold with a single reframe. When a founder spirals into should have, after a bad result, he redirects. You didn't do anything wrong. You made a decision, and it didn't have the outcome you wanted. Those are two different things. A good decision can get a bad outcome, and a sloppy one can get lucky. If you let every bad outcome dock your confidence, you're training yourself to make fewer decisions, which is the opposite of what the business needs from you. Judge the decision on what you knew when you made it. Learn from the outcome. Keep the two in separate columns, and a rough quarter costs you some money instead of your nerve. Why the founders you envy feel just as unsure. Part of what drains confidence is a rigged comparison. You're measuring your private doubt against everyone else's public highlight reel. David Engel, who spent more than 30 years building businesses in the marketing and print world, named the trick on the show. Entrepreneurs don't tell you the times that they fail. They only tell you the times that they succeed. But the failures are the impetus to get up and go on. The founder who looks unshakable to you is fighting the same doubt in private. You just don't get to see it. Engel goes further, and it's worth sitting with, because it flips what confidence even feels like. If I'm not uncomfortable once or twice a month, then I view myself as not moving forward. For him, discomfort isn't the enemy of confidence. It's the receipt that he's still growing. Real confidence isn't the absence of that feeling. It's trusting yourself while it's there. How to build leadership confidence that holds under pressure? Confidence you can rebuild deliberately. It's evidence you bank over time, not a mood you summon. Four things move it in order. The first is the one everything else hangs on. Get your scoreboard back. Write down in a sentence or two what a good week as the owner of this business actually looks like, independent of whether a customer, an employee, or the revenue line cooperated. That's the score you're allowed to keep. Everyone else's opinion becomes information, not a verdict. Then bank what you already have. You've made hundreds of calls that worked. Ben does this with founders constantly, dragging a past win back into view. You found $5 million. You're not short on evidence that you can trust yourself. You're just not counting it because you handed the scoreboard away. Sean Tinney, who built and sold one of Oregon's fastest-growing companies, pointed at the piece most driven people skip. The problem usually isn't motivation or skill. It's an ability to accept reality as it is, or yourself as you are. Confidence needs a floor of self-acceptance under it. You can want to be better and trust yourself as you are right now at the same time. This is the exact work Ben does with founder operators every week, and it's why we lead with it rather than with another strategy deck. If you're carrying a business that runs on your calls and your nerve is the thing wearing thin, that's worth a real conversation about what you're actually playing for. How to start this week. Pick the one decision you've been sitting on. Write down what you actually know today. Decide, and put a date on the calendar to judge the decision, not the mood you're in about it. Separately, list three calls you've made in the last 2 years that worked. That list is your scoreboard, and it was true the whole time. If burnout is the reason your confidence feels thin rather than doubt itself, start with business owner burnout. And once your head is clear, a decision-making framework is how you make the calls that matter without relitigating each one.